Turn in your Bibles tonight, please, to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. I have a couple of passages that I want to look at the beginning of the message tonight, talking about Christian Olympics. This is the time when the Olympics are on and people are thinking about the Olympics. So I thought we'd have this similar subject tonight in the arena of Christians. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest he be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And now, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. And may the Lord add his blessing to his word this evening. The Olympics. Anybody been following the Olympics? You watch the Olympics at all? Some of you do. Understand the United States has been doing pretty well this year. Second in total medals, something like that. Near the top at winning the gold medal. Although I guess today the hockey team, the men's hockey team, took second, took the silver. Canada won the gold. Yeah, the same thing happened in the hockey with the girls. Canada took the gold. The United States took second. There's only one gold medal, isn't there? We all want the gold medal. Everybody wants the gold. You know, running the Christian life is a lot like participation in the Olympics. If you think about it, some of the events that the Christian life is compared to are similar. Many of the events in the Olympics have to do with races. First one down the hill, skiing. First one across the, around the track so many times, ice skating, speed skating. A lot of it has to do with racing. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, it says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, right? There's only one that wins the gold medal, so run that ye may obtain. Actually, I like that when there's, you know, there's this clear-cut winner. We saw it in the Olympics this year. If you haven't watched it, you've probably heard about it, all the controversy with the judging that takes place. Who should really win? Well, it's up to the judges. I'm so glad that when our life is over, there's only going to be one judge that really matters. Whatever he says, that's what's going to go. That's what counts. Jesus Christ. And he is the only one that we have to please, right? He is the only one that we'll stand before to give account of our lives and how we have run the race, how we have lived our lives. And so the exhortation to us, because there is only one who receives the prize, so run that ye may obtain. There is only one gold medal. Now, in the Christian life, it's not how talented we are at a certain sport or event or anything like that. It's how faithful we are. And we know that in the Christian life, there will be many rewards that are given out. But we all should have the idea that we want to run and we want to participate so that we would be one that would obtain. Jesus said that many are called, but when it comes right down to it, there are only a few that are chosen. And so I want to encourage you tonight to run that you may obtain the prize. We run a race. We also fight, says there in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 26 and 27. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. What is this fighting about? Well, verse 27 tells us that this fighting is really discipline. It's disciplining our body. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Those that participate in the Olympic Games, they have to put themselves through training. They have to discipline their body. They know that there are things that they can't eat. They know that there are things that they cannot do. Basically, they give their lives to become the best that they can be in whatever event or events they are participating in. They keep their bodies in good shape. They keep it under subjection. And we also wrestle, not sumo wrestling, but we wrestle. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And so tonight I want to see what's involved in Christian Olympics and what it takes to be a champion. What it takes to be a champion in the Christian life. Let's see how this Christian life, in just some ways, compares to Olympics, Christian Olympics. And I want to encourage you tonight to give it your best shot, to go for the gold. First of all, one of the things that is similar to Christian Olympics and the Christian life to that of the Olympic Games is that there is a lot of witnesses. There is a great cloud of witnesses. Now, with the Olympics, there are spectators that are there. There are those that watch on television in many parts of the world. But you know, as Christians, we also have people that witness our lives and are watching us. There are people that are near us that are watching. But I believe that what Hebrews is referring to as a cloud of witnesses are those that have already gone to heaven and are watching us from there. Watching us from the box seats, the choice seats of heaven. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. So just as there are people, many people who witness an Olympic event, the Christian has many people who witness his life, watch his life. A certain football coach had a football player that was known for two things. Number one, he was always the first one to practice, first one at practice, and the last one to leave. He worked hard. He gave it all that he had, but he was never quite good enough to get into a game. The second thing about this young man was that he had a father who must have loved him very much, because his father would come to the campus and father and son could be seen walking across that campus arm in arm. One day the coach got a call, and he learned through that the call that this boy's father had died. And so now it was up to the coach to bring the news to this young man that his father had died. He was wondering how he was going to break the news to him. He knew that this boy loved his dad very much. And when he told the boy, of course, he was devastated. And he left for the funeral. A few days later, he came back from the funeral, and it was time for the next game. And the boy said to his coach, he said, "Coach, this is my last year, and I have never played in a football game. Do you think you could put me in the game for just a few plays? Just for a couple of minutes?" And the coach, his heart went out to the young boy, and he agreed to let him into the game for a few minutes. But when he got in the game, this guy was unbelievable. He was scoring touchdowns. He was running all over the place. The coach had actually never seen anybody play as well as that boy had played that day. He was the star of the game. And afterwards, the coach went up to the young man and he said, "Son, up until now, I didn't think that you had any potential. But the way you played today, it was spectacular. You were great. Can you tell me what made the difference?" And the young man looked at the coach and he said, "Coach, my dad was blind, and today was the first day he ever got to see me play football." Christian, I want you to know that there are a great cloud of witnesses that are watching us. And just knowing that they are watching us and they are cheering for us and they are rooting us on should give us the courage to go out there and to do our best, to do our best for the Lord. Probably every single one of us tonight have somebody that is rooting for us and cheering us on, and probably most of us have somebody that's in heaven tonight. And they're watching us. They're watching us, and they are cheering for us. They are cheering for you. There are witnesses in the stands, and they are watching you on the field, and they are cheering you on. And let me tell you this, they understand the challenges that you face. They understand the difficulties and the strains that you face because they have been on the field themselves. They have been where you are this very night. But they were successful in their field of struggles, and you can be successful too. They are faithful witnesses watching you, rooting for you. And through the eyes of faith tonight, you can see them. And if you can see them and you can know that you are not alone, then I hope that that makes the game of life that much easier. And so we have a similar thing in that there are people who witness an Olympic event, and there are people who witness your Christian life. The second thing that I want to talk about tonight and compare is the weights. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1b. "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Those that would want to win an Olympic gold medal would lay aside everything that would weigh them down and hinder them from winning their medal. If we could hear their admonitions, they would say to us, "Lay aside the weights. Don't allow the things of this world to keep you into the world system. Don't focus on those things that are unimportant. Don't get sidetracked with the issues, the things in life that are really not important, because there's not time for that. You are in training. You have entered a race. You have a very important event you are participating in, Christian Olympics." And you know, there are things that, no matter how legitimate they are, there are some things that are just weights. They are just weights. They must be put down and they must be pitched off. So I thought about this. I thought about, you know, what they wear in Olympic events. Wearing the right clothing is very important in the Olympic Games. Suppose somebody came to a race. The runners are all lined up. They're stripped to the bare essentials. All is ready for the race to begin when suddenly we see another fellow coming to the starting line. But strange as it seems, he is fully dressed. He's there in a full suit, heavy overcoat, hip boots, heavy woolen cap. In his hands, he carries a lunch bucket and an umbrella. His pockets are filled with medicines. Everyone is surprised that a person looking like that would try to enter the race. Finally, we get up enough courage and we ask him about it. Of course, he says, "I'm running the race. What's wrong with what I wear?" Now, is there anything wrong with a cap or a coat? Is there anything wrong with having medicines in your pocket? Is there anything wrong with carrying an umbrella? After all, it's treacherous. The person may become ill. They're just prepared for what could lie ahead. We can't tell him that what he's carrying is a burden. It's something that will slow him down. But we do know that he'll never win the race. Why? Because he is loaded with weights. You see, what the writer of Hebrews is telling the Christians is to lay aside every weight. And those things are not bad, and those things are good. We need to wear them, and we need to have medicine, and we need those things. But I think the point is this. We shouldn't be so concerned about those things that they consume our thoughts. We should be more concerned about seeking first the kingdom of God and the righteousness of Jesus Christ, because then all of these things that we need of, that we have need of, right? The Lord will supply those needs. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all the things that you have need of, He will supply. We have weights. They're not necessarily sins, okay? But they're things that stop us from being our best. I would admonish you tonight to lay aside even those things. Anything that would hinder you from seeking the kingdom of God with all of your heart. Now, the greatest weight is a sin. And the greatest weight is the sin that so easily besets us. And the sins that waylay me, that beset me, are not necessarily yours. And that what causes me to fall might not even slow you down. And vice versa. There might be things in your life that you stumble at, and other people here tonight, they wouldn't give that a thought at all. It would be no temptation to them. They would just go on by. You know, it really helped me when I realized that there were people in the Bible who had things that slowed them down. There were people in the Bible that had a lot of vices that are worse than ours today. There is Moses. His problem, his besetting sin was murder. There's Elijah. Was there a greater prophet? His besetting sin was deep depression. There's Peter, publicly denying Jesus. There's Samson. He had a besetting sin. It was lust. Over and over again, he gave in to reoccurring lust. With Thomas, it was cynical doubting. With Jacob, it was deception. And all of these men, who we consider to be outstanding men of God, had sins that beset them. Whatever the besetting sin is, whatever the weight is, it must be dealt with by the blood. Hebrews 12:4 says, "Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin." I would encourage you tonight to deal with the sin problem. Deal with that thing that besets you. Deal with that thing that trips you up. You know what? You can deal with it. You can beat it through Jesus Christ. You can have deliverance if you want it bad enough. Slowing you down. You won't win the race with the besetting sin. You won't be able to do your best. Remember James chapter 1 and verse 15? When lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings what? Death. Impatience. I don't know if you thought about this, but impatience is a weight. It's a weight that ties us down. I never considered that until I looked at this passage, and there it is. Because we are reminded to run the race with patience. Run with patience the race that is set before us. You know, the Christian life is not a sprint, it's a marathon. And if you've ever run a long distance race, you have to pace yourself. Some athletes, they have to pace themselves. Be patient. Be patient. Show endurance. The Christian race is not a competitive event to see who comes in first, but rather it's an endurance race to see who finishes faithfully. It's not first, it's faithfully. It's not a sprint, it's an endurance. Paul wanted to get to the end of his life and say, "I have run the race. I've run the marathon, and I've kept the faith." It's like the experience of Bill Broadhurst, who entered the Pepsi Challenge 10,000-meter road race in Omaha, Nebraska. 10 years earlier, surgery for an aneurysm in the brain had left him paralyzed on the left side. Now, on a misty July morning in 1981, he stands with 1,200 athletic-looking men and women at the starting line. The gun cracks. The crowd surges forward. Bill throws his stiff left leg forward and then his right leg with a thud. It wasn't long until all of the other runners, all of the other racers were out of his view. But did Bill quit? He keeps going. His slow plop-plop rhythm seems to mock him as the pack has faded into the distance. Sweat rolls down his face. Pain pierces his ankle. But he keeps going. 6 miles and 2 hours and 29 minutes later, Bill reaches the finish line. A man approaches from a small group of bystanders. Bill recognizes him from pictures in the newspaper. He's Bill Rogers, the famous marathon runner. Here says Rogers, putting his newly won medal around Bill's neck, "You've worked harder for this than I have." See, Broadhurst had also been a winner. It's not who gets there first, it's who gets there faithfully. That's what it's all about in the Christian life. It's whoever gets there faithfully, there's going to be a medal for you. There's going to be a place for you, a crown, an award for you. We all have the same opportunity. No matter what our handicaps may be, we all have the same opportunity. There might be people who are racing ahead of us. Let them go. Because the one who gets there, who just makes it there, who the one who's faithful, will receive the reward. And exercise perseverance. When Jeff Buckingham was 7 years old, he and his younger brother were playing in a tent outside their home when a kerosene lamp exploded. Jeff was burned over two-thirds of his body. It was feared he would never walk again. For years he made frequent trips to burn centers, persevering through the agonizing skin graft operations. I'm sure that he must have had thoughts of quitting, of giving up. But Jeff never quit. In fact, on the contrary, in 1985, he set an American outdoor pole vaulting record when he soared 18 feet, 10 and 3/4 inches. You can do it. You can do it. I was thinking that we were singing that song tonight. We hadn't sang for a long time. Tell Me the Story. Fanny Crosby. She was blind. You know that? How many of you knew she was blind? She wrote all of those hymns, even though she was blind. Well, it's just an infant. She was given wrong medication for her eyes, and yet she wrote over 7,000 poems. Had large portions of the Bible memorized because her grandmother would read the scriptures to her. No matter what the handicap may be, you can not only make it, you can win. You can do things for God. The third point tonight is the finish line. The finish line. This is the final point. We've had the witnesses, we've had the weights, and now the finish line. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." Those that run in Olympic events, those that race in Olympic events and games, have their eyes on the finish line. Those in Christian Olympics need to have their eyes focused on the finish line as well, focused on the author and finisher of their faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. As a runner, you are sometimes tired. Let's be honest tonight. Sometimes you are weary. Sometimes you're discouraged. Sometimes you're afraid. Sometimes you just lose your second. You don't have a second wind. You've spent it all. Am I the only one that's ever been there? And you need a second wind. You know how it is? How come sometimes you're tired all day long, it's time to go to bed, you get your second wind, and you can't sleep? We need that in the Christian life. We need to get our second wind. The best way that I know to get the second wind is to start focusing on Jesus. Start looking at him. In the early morning hours of July 4th, way back 1952, a powerful swimmer named Florence Chadwick attempted to become the first woman to swim from Catalina Island to the California coast. It was a 21-mile swim. 21-mile swim through shark-infested waters. Her swim began on a foggy morning, and less than a half mile from the finish, just one half mile from the finish, Chadwick had to be pulled from the water. Later, she said she hadn't been defeated by fatigue, but by the fog. She said, if I could have seen land, I might have made it. 2 months later, she tried it again. And this time, she made it. Again, fog had limited her vision, but this time she overcame despair because she kept a picture of the coast in her mind. Anyone who has faced adversity knows how Florence Chadwick felt as she struggled to swim on without being able to see the goal. You know, hardship has a way of obscuring the goal. It has a way of making cloudy our spiritual vision. The solution? Focus on Jesus and think of Him. Keep a picture of Him in your mind. You can endure. You can make it to the end. And when you focus on the joy of winning, you can endure the struggles along the way. I remember playing sports. I remember on the soccer field running 115-yard sprints. I remember thinking, what is the fun of this? The only thing that keeps a soccer player going, and it wasn't me, the only thing that kept soccer players going was the joy of winning. Looking ahead, looking forward to the game, and having the joy of winning. You can have that feeling. If you keep your eyes focused on Jesus, guess what? The outcome isn't even in doubt. The outcome has already been decided. You stay with Christ, you win. Jesus made it without tiring. He made it without fainting. The joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross. He endured His struggles, despising the shame. And you can make it too. They that wait upon the Lord, those that look to the Lord as the author and finisher of their faith, shall be able to renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Have your heads bowed, your eyes closed this evening. The message tonight was just designed to be an encouragement to you. And in case anybody here tonight is starting to feel fatigue, or the fog is setting in and you're having some despair, tonight I just want to encourage you. I want to encourage you, first of all, with the witnesses. There are those that are witnessing your life. There are those that are cheering you on. You can make it. You can do it. Yes, you might have to lay aside some weight tonight in order to do that. Is there something that's maybe causing the despair, the discouragement? Is there a weight that you need to get rid of? Maybe that weight is impatience. You know, we have to patiently wait for the good fruit. Run the race with patience. Many people give up because they don't have the patience. They don't have the stamina because they don't have the patience. I want to encourage you tonight. You can do it. The Lord builds things in your life to give you patience so that you can make it to the end. Remember, it's not that you get there first, but it's that you get there faithfully. That's all that matters. That's all that counts. And I want to encourage you tonight by once again reminding you that your eyes need to be focused on the finish line. The author and finisher of your faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be distracted by other things. Simply look to Him. Turn your eyes on Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Focus tonight not on the struggles, but instead focus on the joy of winning. When you hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," by doing those things tonight, you are simply waiting upon the Lord. You're looking to the author and finisher of your faith. and he will cause you to mount up with wings as eagles, so that you can run and not be weary, and walk and not faint. Lord, tonight, you know where all of us are in this race. You know our struggles. You know the disappointments. You know the distractions. You know the weights even, and the besetting sins. Lord, as we think about tonight, the cloud of witnesses, we realize, Lord, that you are among them. You too are cheering us on. You are pouring your strength into us, and we will make it. I pray tonight, Lord, that each one would be undergirded by your strength. Pray, Lord, that they would not be discouraged, they would not be distracted. Pray that they would not be impatient. But I ask, Lord, that you would give them the grace to lay aside the weights, and that you would sharpen their vision that they might see you. Lord, tonight, may you instill in them to focus on the joy of winning so that they can endure the struggles along the way. Help them not to faint, because they will reap if they faint not. Lord, with your strength tonight, we will rise up and mount up with wings as eagles. We will run and not be weary. We will walk and not faint. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Without him, I'd be enslaved. Without him, life would be hopeless. But with Jesus, thank God, I'm saved. Jesus, oh Jesus, do you know him today? Yes, you do. Do not turn him away, not just for salvation, but for the strength to live your very life, for your daily lives. Do not turn him away. Don't go in your own strength. Without him, how lost I would be. Father, we thank you for Jesus tonight. And truly, Lord, without him, we would fail. But we know that the truth of this statement is real. Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. Lord, and with you, as long as we endure, we also will never fail. But you will allow us to be faithful. And you will someday present us to the Father as your workmanship. Thank you, Lord, that you are able to do that for us. Pray that you would continue to do it in each life. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.